Tonight, James eats all the French fries. Mike buys Egyptian cotton. And we bitch about ticks on the internet.
This is James at SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is His Eminence Couch Potato Mike. How are you doing, sir?
Wonderful. You can't hear that. Sorry, guys. I'm sure everyone listening to the show just heard the ringing sound.
There's a ringing sound?
Yeah. The microphone is mounted to the table that the laptop sits on, which means if it's hit, you hear the springs jingle.
Maybe it was my pickle jar up against the springs.
No, if you touch the table, it's going to make a sound. But anyway, we're still getting back in the swing of things. So, you know, there will be a podcast.
Yes.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to – this is 2 weeks in a row now, so
yeah.
Yay us.
Yeah.
We used to do this religiously.
We did, and we have been out of sorts, but we are now back in sorts, and – you guys seem to be pretty darned excited about it.
Yes, you guys do, or at least that one guy does.
Right. Good. I was scared for a second. I thought the microphone wasn't working. I'm like, did I not choose the microphone? But yeah.
Son of a bitch.
My headphones might be in the wrong thing.
Can you not hear all your headphones?
No, yeah, I can hear.
Okay. This is podcasting in action, folks. You're getting to see behind the scenes and the bullshit.
Right, yeah. For what? A year we recorded podcasts with a microphone that wasn't actually even recording. It just kind of sat there.
Yeah, it's plugged in, but we were using the fucking computer's mic.
Right, right. So we now have this sweet microphone, even though the stand for it is maybe poop. But we'll get a better one, or we'll rig it back up the correct way. Yeah. So how was your week, His Eminence?
My week was... it was another fucking week.
Yeah.
I've been getting back in the mood to paint lately because I do the Bob Ross wet on wet technique.
Right.
And I've had some success with it. And I was all set. It's been a beautiful week. Sunny, warm. And I'm like, this Saturday, my first day off, I'm going to go outside and paint because when I paint, I get messy as hell. I get paint all over everything, so I paint outside.
Right.
Yeah, that's when all the rain decided to hit for the week. It only fucking rains in Tennessee on my days off.
Which is not actually true. It rains all the fucking time, but it does seem to concentrate on
the weekends.
Our days off, right?
It pisses me the hell off.
Which, of course, it's not raining outside today, although it looks rather gloomy. And the temperature... so it's actually been pretty damn hot all week.
Now it's kind of cool out.
Now the temperature's dropped to fairly cool. Like... enough to be sort of like, it's on that threshold, because friends, we're all friends here, we talk about the weather as friends. It's on that threshold of like, just annoyance. Like it's just, it's not freezing, but it's just too cold to really like, if it was just a few degrees warmer, that would be awesome. Or a few degrees colder, you could really sort of bundle up and like enjoy it.
Right.
But it's warm enough.
That temperature. You can't, you go outside in a shirt, you're going to be cold, but you put on a jacket, you're going to start sweating.
Right. And it's just a mud bog out there. Cause if it was warmer, the ground would dry up. And if it was colder, the ground would freeze.
Yeah. It's fucking annoying. I hate it when, Tennessee's a swamp right now.
It is. And which ruins our plans for the day of playing disc golf that we haven't played in forever and we really want to.
Yeah, no, we haven't played since the tournament we went to back in
February.
February. God, and it's fucking April now. That's 2 months now.
Yeah.
Since we played.
There's a chance we may throw on just boots and do it anyway. We don't know. We're still deciding.
Yeah.
Cuz we're both itching for it. But yeah, it being in that much mud kind of just You get bogged down.
So in other words, this fucking weekend, it's basically been the equivalent of getting a really great blowjob, but then right at the end when they're about to come, they pull your dick out of their mouth and shoot you off on your own stomach.
And on that bombshell, what are we talking about today?
Well, we are talking about...
You forgot?
Off-grid and country living.
Right. So, there are varying degrees of off-grid living. You have purists that will say that off-grid living is... Well, completely off-grid.
Oh, completely off-grid. You're in a shack out in the, you're in a shack or a cabin out in the fucking woods somewhere with no electricity, no fucking plumbing. You're fucking washing your clothes and your nuts in the stream or under a waterfall. You're farming off the fucking land.
Right.
Your and then, only lights are candles.
Right. But then there's degrees. There's degrees of off-gridness, and it's what you choose for yourself.
Yep.
I have never really wanted a 100% off-grid life.
You want your creature comforts.
I want my creature comforts. If well, okay. The only way I would really want to live 100% completely off the grid is if I had the enormous cash flow up front to take care of all those needs so that I'm not really, you know, put out here.
You want to be Texas.
You know, Without energy, without electricity and power, there would not be a podcast.
No.
So there's that. Without the internet, which is on the grid, because there's ways to get internet kind of off the grid, you know, but still some purists would still say you're connected to the grid, man.
Yeah. But what if you're pirating somebody else's Wi-Fi?
Good luck doing that off the grid.
Oh, yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you could kind of gorilla pirate radio it and stuff, but...
Hard, hairy.
Yeah. It's not really work. You know, so it's sort of a choose-your-own-adventure here with off-grid life.
Oh, I used to love those books.
Me too. I've thought about writing a choose-your-own-adventure survival manual. I may do that. Actually, I may really do that. Excuse me. I've lived in varying degrees of off the grid. Mike has lived country living, a very rural existence for, what, about a decade?
Yeah, I've pretty much become a hillbilly at this point.
Right, right. Oh, my God. I remember one time before I moved, when I was still living in Ashland City, which is still pretty rural, very small town of, like, I think I checked the census, it was like 4,000 people.
Yeah, the census for here, I checked it recently. As of about 3 years ago, it was just under 1,000.
Oh, yeah. For this particular town, this town is very small. Definitely smaller than Ashland City. Definitely.
Yeah, we're damn near Mayberry.
Right. Right.
We're Mayberry with a Subway.
Yeah, that's the only...
Eat fresh.
Fast food-ish kind of place around here.
Well, there's Jonah's. But they're a mom and pop.
Right, and I was bitching to my wife and your wife the other day about how Jonah's is only open on the second blue moon of the year on Tuesdays when you hop one-legged around the corner. Like, they're never open.
Oh, God. They're sure as hell not open on Sunday. They're a Christian organization.
Right. Like that burger place in Dixon that doesn't operate on the weekends, so we'll never eat there. Oh, my God.
Not Cheeseburger Charlie's.
Cheeseburger or something. Some cheeseburger joint.
I don't know. And I've been wanting to try that forever, but they're not open on the fucking weekends. What the fuck?
I found out the reason why.
Okay.
And even though it makes me angry because, well, I'll never eat there.
Yeah.
I can really understand it.
Okay.
The guy that runs the place, like the head guy, he's retired. He does it for fun. He doesn't want to work the weekends. Fuck it.
Well, fucking hire somebody else to work the weekends. I want a goddamn burger.
Me too. I really want a cheeseburger. Off topic. What was it? For Skylar, my stepson's birthday.
You have a stepson.
I do. I had to choose something recently. It said guardian. I'm like, whoa. We took him to Laser Quest for his birthday. It was last weekend, right?
Pew, pew. Yeah.
And then afterwards, we kind of want to take him somewhere good to eat. And we're around the area. And I'm like, oh, what's around here?
You never bring me back my fucking Stromboli.
We didn't get, well, it was kind of difficult picking somewhere to eat, and Skylar is kind of being a 12-year-old, like 12-year-olds are. So I just happened to – we were trying to get back to the interstate. And the way it took us down Charlotte Pike Road from downtown down Charlotte Pike Road.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know a really good place around here. So I took them to ML Rose. I took you to that burger place. You didn't like it because it was expensive, but the burgers are good. I actually tried their the Nashvillian, which is a hamburger, cheeseburger with pimento cheese on it. I don't even love pimento cheese. I don't even love it.
Pimento cheese.
It needs to go on a burger. Pimento cheese and a hamburger. Dude, that was one of the best burgers I've ever eaten.
I think I tried to make something like that at home.
It was a magical combination. They even cooked my burger to medium rare, which some places are kind of iffy about.
Oh, I just had a burger yesterday that was cooked fucking medium rare.
That's so good. And
I think they were damn near too – they were almost too far on the rare side, though.
And I split some of those loaded waffle fries. You remember those loaded waffle fries?
Yes, I remember the loaded waffle.
Like, if you were ever in the Nashville area, stop by at ML Rose, get the loaded waffle fries. If you drink beer, they have a whole bunch of craft beers, delicious.
I have this love-hate relationship with French fries in general. They're so easy to fuck up.
They are.
And I've had, I mean, so many places I just do not like their damn fries. Like White Castle, I can't stand their fries. McDonald's, I like their fries for the first few minutes while they're still piping hot.
And then they're disgusting.
And after that, they become packing peanuts. Arby's,
Crystal fries, you might as well throw away. They've gotten better, but they're still not really edible as human food. And I'd say most improved fries are Wendy's. I used to just throw Wendy's fries away because they were so disgusting.
Well, Burger King, they've started making their fries wider now, which turned me off of them.
Yeah.
They're okay.
Holy shit. Rabbit holes to galore.
God, we're all about French fries right now.
I could go for some.
We're all about burgers and fries right now. We're fucking hungry.
You know what one of the number one things I love about living off-grid and or country living? Because, really, you're not going to live off the grid in the city. So this is sort of a combination of a lot of you guys want to get more into survival, and part of that is living a more rural life, more country life.
Mm-hmm. Got your privacy.
Which is funny because some people complain that they don't know how they can afford to live that way. When you ask a broke-ass redneck how they can afford to live that way, and they can't comprehend how they can live any other way.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, trust me, there are lots of ways to do it. Me and Mike both have our stories on how we got here.
Oh, yeah. I was thrown out of Nashville.
Yeah, and I just I got in one little fight, and my mom got scared, so.
You had to move with your auntie and uncle to Bel Air?
Yeah.
This isn't Bel Air.
No, yeah. I needed to get out of Nashville just because I wanted a slower, quieter life, and Nashville was not the place for me anymore.
No. So, I mean, you either love the city or you hate the city. I mean,
right, and I would say I have a love-hate with Nashville. Cause
so do I.
Nashville has become such a – it's either sort of rough-and-tumble gangster – area, or it's like super yuppie hipster area now, but man, Nashville has some good food.
It does.
Like, if you want good food, you're gonna find it in Nashville.
And plus, you know, I mean, well, I'm about to jump the list. I mean, the whole convenience of living in a city,
right? And we will definitely talk about that a little bit later, but when you live in the country, the life is so much quieter.
There's as much gained as lost,
right? I know when I still lived in Nashville, and I lived in South Nashville for a while, and I lived in East Nashville for a while, you heard sirens every day.
Oh, yeah, and seeing how I lived in West Nashville most of my life, I mean, it wasn't a day without sirens.
Right.
I mean, the apartment that me and my wife and our really, really young, I mean, damn near newborn daughter were living in, somebody got shot behind it.
Right.
I mean, behind our kitchen wall, somebody was shot one night.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, God. I was out on a call, too. I was on call medical equipment delivery driver, and Andrea calls me. Her and Fiona are on the floor. She's calling me. She's crying. She's scared. She's like, somebody just got shot behind the apartment. I'm like, did you call the cops? No, I called you. I'm like, call the cops.
Yeah.
I mean, she was in full-blown panic mode. Because, you know, and the funny thing is, living out here in the country, I hear gunshots damn near all the time.
And never worry about it.
No, because it's just guys out there either hunting small game or just fucking pulling their, whipping out their shit and doing target practice just because they want to shoot something.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we need to set up like a little target thing behind the house. My beautiful wife bought me some really nice targets.
Oh, really?
Zombie bleeding targets for Christmas.
They bleed when you shoot them?
They do. They have like blood marks.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, I mean, they're not like the Ivan targets, the bust ones. They're just like paper targets. But, you know, it looks like blood and gore
when
you shoot them.
That's pretty cool.
And
we got a.
Yeah, she loves the 22, so I'm all excited to get her out there to shoot. It's just weather and bad timing and stuff.
Well, the 22, I mean, it can just be. It hardly makes any noise. There's hardly any kickback to it. And when. Did the shortage on 22 ammo ever lift up?
It's a bit easier now, but the price has never gone back to like pre-crisis. It's good, but it's not like 22 ammo used to be amazingly cheap.
That was the beautiful thing about 22. You could shoot that shit all day because it was so fucking cheap and it come in a box with so many bullets in it.
I mean, I still have like 2000 rounds, so I have plenty to
shoot.
But
they're more precious now than they used to be.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't shooting at all, really, during the crisis. Like, I was basically just hoarding and buying a box every time I could get my hands on them.
Plus, I mean, 22, they're fun for just if you're going to be shooting for shooting's sake. But I wouldn't really call that a great self-defense ammunition. I mean, there's a good chance if somebody breaks into your house and you shoot them with a 22, there's a good chance you're just going to piss them off.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. If you look at statistics, the 22 long rifle has quite the number of kills per year, you know, because it's, I would say not because it's a lethal, you know, caliber of choice, but because the 22 is maybe the most owned firearm in America.
They're insanely common.
Almost everyone has one. They're cheap.
Which is what caused the fucking shortage to begin with. But I still don't get how you can fucking, just make more.
There's a lot of weird things involved there, which we're talking about shooting in the country, which is awesome, and that goes into the freedom thing I have later on.
And it's funny.
It goes against the living in the quiet. Like, you know, it's just quieter. You know, there's not all the noise. Like,
I got a question. Getting back onto the whole ammunition thing.
What?
Is it legal for people to make their own bullets?
Yes, they're called reloaders. No, you don't.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but that right now that's a big part of the storyline that's happening on the current episodes of The Walking Dead. Is the one character named Eugene, who's kind of an idiot savant. He's brilliant, but he has no social skills.
Right.
He's the bullet maker, and he was taken from Alexandria by Negan and his people because he could make bullets, and the Alexandrians just tried to kidnap his ass back.
Mm-hmm.
Because he makes bullets. He's one of the only people that knows how to make bullets. And right now Negan has placed him at his own outpost with the sole job of making everybody there make fucking bullets.
Yeah. I know in the punks group we've got several reloaders. So I mean that when you reload ammunition, you take shells that you've shot through your firearm.
Yep, spent cartridges.
You have to forgive me if I'm missing any steps here, because I only know this in theory, but I have studied it a bit. The price to get into it is, you know what, I'm gonna put that on like my Christmas list next year to get some reloading stuff and put it out in my man cave that will hopefully be finished and man cavey by then. Right now it's mostly just storage. But yeah, you take your cartridges, you tumble them to clean them and get them, you know, basically like a rock tumbler. Like you tumble them to clean them out. Then you use your reloading supplies to insert the proper amount of, you know, black powder. Not necessarily black powder, just the, you know, the gunpowder, the proper amount of gunpowder, and the blend that you buy.
Now, depending on which shadow you're in, you can use pink powder that's used for cleaning jewelry.
Jewelry's dust, yeah.
that's one of my favorite things.
You insert that, and then, well, okay, so first of all, after you tumble them, and people that are reloading are screaming, are like, James, you're a dumb fuck. You don't know what you're talking about. So you have to put a new primer in. So you have to punch out the old spent primer, you know, from the bottom of your cartridge, and that's for a centerfire cartridge, not so like a 22 long rifle is a rim fire. It's a little bit different. I think you can reload them now. I think I've seen advertisements for like 22 long rifle reloading kits. But just talking center fire, you replace the primer after you tumble it. You use your reloading kit to put in your powder. You put in your new bullet, you know, the actual lead brass slug, whatever you got, crimp it, and then you've got reloaded ammunition. So it's not terribly like the most difficult thing in the world. In fact, they have a lot of the reloading kits are pretty much no-brainers. Like you just there's the Lee Rapid Reloader. Like you set everything up and then like you just put your cartridges in there and you just pull this lever and it does everything. It spins around, puts your in there, puts a new bullet in there, does the crimping, and bam, you're done.
Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah. Living in the country is quiet, unlike the shooting we've talked about. And, I mean, there's just less noise. There's less sirens. There's less, you know, like we hear cars come up and down the street, but, you know, compared to like when we lived in West Nashville, it was almost, you know,
it was a
rush hour all the time.
City hum constantly.
Right.
And now you can hear when a car turns onto our road. If you're sitting out in front, you can hear the car turn onto the road, which is like a mile from our house.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it can be sort of a change at first. Like me and Mike grew up city boys. We're used to that hustle and bustle. Like, and, you know,
it was definitely an adjustment.
You can hear all the nature sounds, like, which is going to be different at first. Like you hear birds and bees and trees and wind and
the night sky. The night sky. That's one thing I love. You could see so many stars from out here on a clear night, which city lights, you don't realize how much city lights will dull out your view of the night sky.
Right. You can see the moon and what, maybe a handful of stars, but the whole sky isn't lit up.
No, I mean, and out here, you could just kick back on a good night. And you could see, hell, we see shooting stars like all the damn time.
Yeah.
Shit that you just don't see.
And there's a lot of times in the city you will not really see much or any of the moon.
No.
But in the country, man, I love the moon. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have that on my list, but one of the best things about living in the country is just the beauty you're surrounded with. Just being in nature. And, you know, it's a
deer.
It's a clinical disease of kids nowadays that don't have enough exposure to nature. Literally, they are prescribing kids nature walks because it's seriously a disease.
Get them out of the fucking house.
Yeah. And honestly, I think kids even know they want it. Like, Skyler, since he's been out here, has been outside a lot more than he ever has. Like he never went outside at his grandma's house.
I saw where they were living. I mean, McMinnville's not the most urbanized of places, but still.
It's definitely city. They had trash.
You could
throw
a rock and hit three neighbors.
Right. Right. You know, and they had.
Their yard was on a slope, too.
They probably didn't have bums. They definitely had meth heads hanging around and shit like that. So
this is all theory. They weren't saying that Skylar was out there playing with meth heads.
Oh no, Serenity was almost attacked by a meth head girl that was trying to rob her one day walking down the street.
Oh Jesus Christ.
So not in theory, in reality.
Okay then.
Yeah. McMinnville is, well, Tennessee is one of the largest states for meth in the country.
It's one of the top three meth producers in the country.
Yeah.
It's Indiana, Tennessee, and Missouri.
And they keep fighting for pole position.
Pole position. Yeah. Do you remember that cartoon?
I remember the game.
Yeah, there was a game, but they also made a cartoon of it back in the 80s, Pole Position.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Left alone. Generally, here in the country, we're left alone for a lot of things. Like, we don't, you know, like, I remember living in the city, you would have, like, codes people drive around and just, like, write people up all the time for random shit. Like, your yard's messy. You have too many, like, my, you know, my friend, Gabriel Earls, they had a bunch of junk cars one time, and codes came out and was like, you got to get rid of some of these cars. You know, and they're like, they were just cars they were working on, you know, in the middle of being fixed or whatnot. But
yeah. It's a very urban part of South Nashville.
Right. If we transported your property as it is now, my house, your house, the vehicles, the structures, everything into East Nashville.
Oh, God.
Codes would be on us in like 2 seconds.
Fuck yeah. Now, codes out here will show up, but only if they get a call. It's they don't go around patrolling.
Yeah, they don't give a shit usually. Like, okay, so your wife's best friend kind of had some issues with her structure when she was building it, being inspected.
It's building codes. That's
building
about,
codes.
That's
yeah.
about the only thing. And still, it's I mean, it's only if you're constructing a really big fucking thing, you know, a permanent thing where you're having to get permits and shit like
right.
that. The only other time they'll show up is if somebody fucking calls and thinks that you're building something and it's irritating them, because sometimes people do get fucking nosy out here.
But I haven't, I mean, if you look at a lot of the houses and the structures in and around this street, this area, if codes from Nashville were to like go up and down the street, their stupid little books would just explode.
There are some cities where you literally have to apply for a permit to build a fucking doghouse.
Yes, and we don't here. I mean, we is this? We're part of Dixon County, so obviously this is incorporated. But this is on the very like neck of being an unincorporated county.
Well. Technically the area we're living in, I think, might be unincorporated.
Right. It's in or out. I'm not real sure. Because a lot of times big cities will start to eat up their surrounding cities.
Mm-hmm. I mean, our zip code technically is
Dixon County.
It's Charlotte.
Right.
I mean, well, I live in Dixon County, but the area that we're in, I think, might technically be unincorporated.
Right. So, you know, and people live in, like, shacks. People live in tiny houses. Not every one of the houses is the best built ever. But, you know, it's – no one's being bothered. No one's being hassled.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the closest thing that I think really that has been mildly a hassle out here is the mail lady said we had to trim the grass around the mailbox for her to keep putting mail in there. Okay. Yeah, sure. Move on with life. But that's about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, definitely a benefit there.
I've thought about moving the mailbox.
I've thought about
putting it on the other side of the driveway. That way I don't have to pull up to the mailbox.
I gotcha. Yeah. I thought about getting a nice like wooden pole and mount it on so it's straight. And well, honestly, the mailbox has been beaten pretty badly. It needs to
be. Well, somebody fucking took a baseball bat to the damn thing.
So it doesn't really shut right half the time anymore.
No, we need a new mailbox.
Yeah. I want one of those like wooden posts to put in it.
It was so funny living out in West Nashville. Our mailman laughed his ass off when I was a kid. Some asshole fucking drove down the street, took our mailbox out. And my dad rescued the mailbox part. And until he got a new pole for it, he had like a magazine rack out by the street with the mailbox sitting on it.
Oh, nice.
And the postman came up, knocked on our door, laughing his ass off about that.
Because, yeah, normally they're pretty picky. Like, I had when I was living in West Nashville, my mailbox pole broke or something, and the mailbox was on the ground, and they wouldn't deliver mail until I mounted it on another pole.
Oh, my God. This was years and years ago. This was, I think, not Detroit. Or I don't think it might have been Miami. It could have been somewhere in Nashville. Actually, it was in East Nashville where my dad was living at the time. There was a rash of motherfuckers, of this one guy who was going around just taking out people's mailboxes. Just fucking playing mailbox baseball right out the damn window. There's this group of fucking, and they were doing it constantly all over this one area. And they had taken up my dad's mailbox twice. So what he did, he went, and he got a big steel pole and a mailbox, filled them full of fucking concrete. I mean, just concreted them, concreted that fucking pole 2 feet into the damn ground. Until one night when he heard a loud dong and a motherfucker screaming and cussing because he's now falling out the passenger side of a car.
Yeah.
And the cops got called because this guy was injured big time. I mean, he was busted open a bit. And he had broken his, and he'd gotten fractures in his wrist and all that shit.
Oh, no.
And a concussion and all that stuff. And the cops asked, is this your mailbox? And he's like, no, my mailbox is right there. I don't know whose mailbox this is because it didn't have a number or anything right on it. Dumb oh, my dad got the fuck away from it. It was pretty awesome.
We're going to run out of time probably. Safe. Living in the country is a lot safer. Unless you watch, like, you know, serial killing TV shows, it looks like every murder ever happens in the country. But there are less murders in the country.
Oh, yeah.
A lot less. Like Mike said earlier with the shooting behind his house. Like, if you live in a city, you're just going to be exposed to more violence. You know, and the old stereotype of living in the country and leaving your doors unlocked and shit, that's accurate.
It is accurate.
Serenity was blown away that, like, I lock my door when I leave. But if I'm here all day, I leave it unlocked. I mean...
Same here. It took me forever to get used to that.
Because your wife almost never locks the door.
Yeah, she never locks the door. And I grew up, you walk it, you come in, you come home.
There's already people. There's
your family's already in the house. You use your key to get in, then you go in and lock the fucking door.
Right. And I mean, because I don't lock the door when I'm asleep at night. I don't see the point, really. I mean, for a security point of view, I get it, but I don't. You know. And, you know, I can't recall hearing a break-in in this area.
Well, there's a reason for that. You see, the thing about it is, and there actually has been cases of break-ins. They're very, very rare out here.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, out in our area, it's redneck and hillbilly city. You can automatically assume by looking in the houses, everybody out here has, if not one, multiple fucking firearms.
Right.
Do you really want to break into the fucking barrel of a gun?
Yeah. And criminals know this. They know people in the country own guns, people in the city not always owning guns. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they'll break it. You know, and you know what? I've honestly heard that a lot of criminals tend to break into houses that are unlocked and, you know, like they go for populated. So like they'll go to like a city and like people are having a party and they'll like just kind of walk in the door, go in the thing, you know, steal the jewelry and stuff. Then like go back out and, you know, they're not really, you know, a lot of the TV troops of like breaking in at night and stealing your stuff doesn't happen that much. And especially not in the country at all.
You see, it reminds me of an old Jeff Foxworthy bit. He was like, now you're a burglar, and you see this house, it's got a manicured front lawn and all this stuff, and everything's really nice. You're going to think, yeah, that's easy pickings.
Right.
But then you pull up to that house where the grass is like 5 feet tall, and there's an engine swinging from a tree, and there's a dog chained up outside. You're thinking, that's a house where a gun lives.
Exactly. It's the way that I always think when I park my 2009 Kia C'D hatchback in a parking lot. Like, if I go shopping in, you know, the more expensive Brentwood, Franklin areas of Tennessee, Nashville, you know, and there are BMWs and Mercedes and Porsches all around me, they're probably going to think, I would rather break into this car that is expensive than this hoopty.
And that's why I never wash my car. And that's why I keep the trash on the floorboard. Nobody wants to fucking find go through whatever's in my fucking car.
Right.
Which has been described at certain times in my life by police as, is somebody living in there?
Yeah. You know what? I've seen a good trick to do for when you go to the beach, and I meant to actually do it when me and Serena went to Florida.
Oh, okay.
It was, you know, because you go to the beach, you kind of want to take your wallet and your keys and stuff, but then you got them sitting on your blanket or by your car, and what do you do with them? Get a baby diaper, put it inside of it, and then seal it up. Nobody ever is touching a sealed baby diaper.
No.
Nobody.
No, that's, yeah.
And if you want next level, like, hide some peanut butter in it.
Oh.
if they're just good, you know, melted chocolate, peanut butter. No, a payday. Put a melted payday in it.
Oh, God.
No one will touch it. No one will even think, man, these people left their baby diaper on the ground. Let me pick it up and throw it away. No, nobody will touch it.
You only touch the baby diaper that you just took off your baby.
Right. So one guy was like, you put him in there, you seal it up, and then you put it, like, by your wheel well or something, like underneath your car. No one's going to grab that unless you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, man, I'm going to steal that baby diaper because it has keys on it. Or you put it on like your blanket, you know, your towel out by the beach. So that's a extra tip there.
Uh-huh.
The last thing I have under the good things about living in the country, although I could go on much longer, this podcast.
You know, one of these days we're actually going to have to make a list of things we want to talk about and try to stick exclusively to that and see how we finish the show in 15 minutes.
Exactly. And everyone will be like, we hated that show. I don't even do that really when I do solo shows. I stick to the topic better, but sometimes I still go off on little mini rants and shit anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Better for a family.
Yep.
You know, my childhood wasn't the worst thing ever growing up in inner city Nashville. Not inner city, but definitely very, very close to the city. But I would much rather raise a family and am, as well as Mike, out here in a more rural country area.
Yep.
Gives and takes. Like, so our kids probably won't really know the awesomeness of running out to the ice cream truck. I've kind of seen an ice cream truck around here.
Never leaves Charlotte proper.
Exactly. So, you know, that was a part of my childhood that was awesome.
My kids will get excited every time they see an ice cream truck because it's so rare. It's damn near like a unicorn.
Right. You know, and trick-or-treating is that, not the same.
No, that's...
You can't really...
We drive elsewhere. You can't trick-or-treat out here.
Right. I mean, you know, in Nashville, we could cover, you know, 12 blocks, cover one quadrant and then the other quadrant, and come home with two giant bags of...
Oh, God.
...of candy.
No, when we trick-or-treat, we drive out to where I work, because I work in the city of Franklin, and I'm just surrounded by fucking very tightly packed neighborhoods that have sidewalks... Where the rich white people live. And the rich Indian people live.
If you want good candy, you find where the rich Indian people live.
I've had them hand out full-size shit.
Yeah.
And all sorts of crap. It was just awesome.
We're leaving. Here, take this whole bowl.
Now, when I was a kid living in West Nashville, if I wanted to go trick-or-treat, my mother wouldn't even go with me half the damn time. Several of my friends would show up at my house, and then we'd all walk around our neighborhood together. And you could hit, in the first 20 minutes, you'd hit fucking 30 houses.
Right. If you walked around for an hour in the country...
You're going to hit 5 houses, and guess what? Nobody's going to be home because they left to go trick-or-treat elsewhere.
Exactly. Or they're going to be hermits that aren't going to give you anything until you get off their lawn. And the driveways might be a mile long themselves, so...
Oh, my God. We went trick-or-treating in Dixon one time in this apartment complex because I had the idea of trick-or-treating apartment complexes.
I remember that.
And some motherfucker was handing out, like, chocolates from, like, a Whitman sampler, but a generic Whitman sampler in fucking Ziploc bags.
Nope. Get out of here.
And we said thank you, and then we walked away. And I'm like, kids, give me those. What? Give me those. I tossed them in a bush.
Yep. I bet that bush was filled with those candies.
Yeah, no, because trick or treat rule number one, factory sealed shit only, please.
Right. Which we're not really selling country living with this thing, but
no, we're in the
there are
section.
A lot of better things about the country for raising a family. You're not going to have roving gangs. I've talked about this, I think, before, either on the podcast or I've talked to Mike about it and somebody. Uh-huh. When you grow up, at least as a boy, in a very city area,
you kind of fight
with other boys around you. There was like a, like our block when I was growing up would fight with the block on the back. So like the alley was the dividing line. So the people that lived on the other side of the alley were our enemies and we would fight. And you're thinking, oh, little like 8-7 year old boys fighting. Like we had like metal poles and stuff and we'd throw rocks at each other. Like it was violent warfare.
Oh my God.
No one died.
I never had that. Of course, it was hard for me to make friends.
It was mostly me and my brothers and a couple people from our side of the street that would fight the other side of the street. And then I think we had like a guy that like turned sides and like gave information to the other side, became a traitor and sabotaged us and set us up for a trap. Pretty insane.
Is he now a senator?
Probably. Yeah, it was, you know, and there's just, you know, and okay, so I don't necessarily think that boys shouldn't have that, you know. Boys are rough and tumble, and we fight.
Yeah.
And I don't think that should be stifled. I think young boys should fight, but I think...
Yeah, but out here in the country, you can start a feud.
Yeah.
That'll go on for generations, and nobody even knows why.
Right. It's definitely... You're not going to be... Your kids aren't going to be exposed to, like, necessarily the gangs, the drugs, the crackheads, the meth heads, the pedophiles, like... A lot of that gets diminished when you're living in the country. People tend to be a bit better. Schools, give or take. You know, like...
Oh, no one get me started.
You know, some of the schools in Nashville were pretty horrible and violent. Like, when I went to my high school, Stratford, I had heard some horror stories. Like, yeah, you'll get shot instead. Like, okay, so...
I heard the same
Stratford
thing about-
had school shootings a few times. Like, not necessarily, like, people bring... People did bring guns to school and were arrested. No one shot each other in the school itself. There were drug busts in my school. Like, DEA agents busted in a classroom and drug a kid out because he was a drug seller.
Oh, my God.
Someone drove by the school and shot it up. How many times have your kids' schools been shot up, Mike?
Yeah, that's... No.
Like, Serenity was super excited.
A bomb threat was called in, but it was unfounded.
You know...
And that wasn't even in my school. It was to a different school in Dixon County, so they just shut all the schools down
right.
That day.
Yeah, like, Serenity got super excited when she saw that Schuyler's Elementary School was literally across the street from the sheriff's station.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I'm not worried about school shooting now. Their response time is like 5 milliseconds.
It really fucking is. I mean, there's usually a cop in the school, too.
Right. I mean, unless you're like that, the Florida school shooting where there was a cop in the school and he's like, not my job.
What the fuck?
Yeah, piece of shit.
Ugh.
But anyway.
I mean, the cops out here have nothing else to do.
Oh, no.
The crime rate is so small out here that, I mean, response time to anything is astonishing down
right.
here.
So, you know, there's almost nothing you can tell me that would be not better for a family living in the country. Yes, some like medical things, you'll have to drive for better medical treatment because generally country doctors won't have the expertise. So like, you know, like you drive to an expert in Nashville. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's just part of living in the country. You have to drive to things. And maybe some of this. So, comparing schools, the schools in the country may not be the best, the newest, the fanciest, but you probably won't be shot to death, killed, stabbed. You know, there will be less drugs. I'm willing to bet, you know, there's a lot less drugs here in the country. Although, you know, country, you probably have kids still in their parents, like, not snuff, the other stuff, the fake chewing tobacco, the really, like, minty shit. What's that stuff called? Dip or whatever. I bet dip and the other, there's another name for it. Yeah, whatever. I don't do it. So,
I've tried dipping twice in my life and threw up both times.
Yeah, I don't even want to contemplate that.
I don't even understand how they thump their fingers on the fucking thing.
I don't get that either.
It's beyond me.
Someone do a tutorial on that. Blip, blip, blip. But anyway, I will argue all day long. I'd much rather raise a family in the country. I got a brief section of how-tos because we talk a lot and we're 44 minutes in. So
yeah, we still got time.
We still got time. Because I want there are some things about country living that I don't think are the greatest, and I will sort of gloss through those when we get to them. Sort of the how-tos for off-grid country living. So
rainwater.
Rainwater. I'm still getting mine set up. I have a rain barrel now, and I need to install the gutters to get that. Rain barrels may or may not be legal in your area, but if you are living in a country area, like we said, you probably won't be hassled about it.
Fucking Colorado.
Yeah, fucking Colorado. Rain barrel legality is kind of weird in places, but, you know, if you...
You're depleting the groundwater!
Yeah, whatever. If you live in an inner city, you're probably going to get busted by the codes people. If you live in the middle of the country, they're not going to give a shit, usually.
Yeah, they're usually a lot less active about that shit out here in bumfuck Egypt.
Yeah, and then I highly recommend the SureFlow water pump. That's what I use. And I would definitely recommend getting the pressure vessel, the pressure container, whatever it's called. I forget. It kind of just... So it pumps into this and then pressurizes it, and then your water comes from that. I would probably recommend a bigger pressure tank. I got just the SureFlow pressure tank, and it just sort of minimizes the pumps and the cycling. So when I turn my water, if I only use it for a little bit, the pump doesn't even have to come on. It'll refill the pressure tank when it needs to, and it has to cut on less. So that's good, and it's good. So... Like I said, I probably want a bigger pressure tank eventually, but it's fine for now. And this is one of the things you have to deal with when, you know, you're using off-grid water. Right. You have to have a water pump to pump the water since you're not using the pressure from the municipal water. Or, you know, if you have a well, you have to have a pump for the well too.
Yep.
These things, you know. Your internet. And at this point, everyone has to use the internet. The internet's going to be a pain in the ass. And when we get to the bad things about the country living, the internet's going to be one of them. There are some choices. So when you live in a city, depending on which city you live in, you can get Google Fiber, which is amazing. A lot of cities are offering like Wi-Fi. So there's just broadcast Wi-Fi for you to connect to, like Xfinity Wi-Fi. There's no wires. You just have high-speed internet, and it's awesome. You can use your cell phone 4G internet. Cable internet is... I love cable internet and miss it so much. When you're, you know, bordering on like 2,000 feet away from the nearest, you know, internet hub like we are, you know, our only option is really DSL or satellite. Both options are kind of poop.
Yeah.
You know, I've recently had my internet speed knocked down because it was going too fast and popping up too many errors, which was thus slowing down the internet. So even though it was faster, it was actually slower because it had to keep re-requesting packets, which means it wasn't actually faster. And it blows your mind, but it's annoying. It's annoying that making it slower actually makes it faster. It so annoys me, but... If it goes slower but doesn't have to get packets resent again and again, then it you know, you're moving at a faster pace. Whereas if you're going blind, you know, faster and faster, but, you know, your packets are going to fucking Hawaii instead of your house, and your internet's like, bro, where's my packet at? And send me another packet. And you keep doing that, you're actually going a lot slower.
It's basically, in layman's terms, say, like, you're driving down the interstate. And it's 70 miles an hour. And you got to get to a destination. Okay? Now, and you're going to get to a destination that where there's known to be, I mean, and along your route, there's known to be cops. Now, you can either stay 70 miles an hour and get there at the normal time. Or you can try doing 80 or 90 miles an hour because you're moving faster. You think you're going to get there faster. But if you keep getting pulled the fuck over, it's going to slow down your progress.
Right.
Each one of those cops is an error.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. I just wanted to throw that in because I hadn't said anything in a minute.
Pretty good explanation. So, yeah.
You could be Bat Dad.
Satellite internet. The download speeds are pretty good. Pretty damn good. The upload speeds, they're okay. But it's like 1990s cell phones, though.
Like night and weekend minutes.
Yeah, like it caps your internet. Like instead of unlimited internet, which is if you've been using the internet recently, especially in a city, you know, the internet is free and unlimited. And, you know, there may be there may be caps with like, I think Charter, which is a cable company that has the internet, their data cap is like 300 gigs a month. You got to do a lot of stuff to hit 300 gigs a month, guys. You know, whereas like when I had satellite internet through Dish Network, my cap was like 10 gigabytes a month of anytime gigabytes, which is not a lot. And then 10 gigabytes of like nights and weekends gigabytes. So I would constantly keep running out of gigabytes. Like I stopped watching streaming video. I had to be careful about uploading and downloading stuff. Like it was a pain in the ass. So, yeah, you can get it, but if you're going to keep watching Netflix, well, you're not. You're just not. Like, good quality HD streaming video is like a gigabyte an hour. So, you think you binge watch one show, you're done for the month.
In a day.
Yeah. So, that's a poop. Speaking of poop.
You have to take another one?
When you live in the country, generally, you're not going to be on city sewer.
No, you're not.
So if you build a home, buy a home, you're going to have to do a couple options.
Yeah.
You either need to get a
composting toilet.
Composting toilet, right. But I was trying to think septic tank. You got to get a septic tank, which is basically a big concrete hole in the ground that you poop and pee in. And you kind of have to take care of your septic tank or you'll have issues. And I'm sure at some point we will have to think about that here. Like at my mom's house, because she has a house in the country as well now.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived there, so it was me, my mom, and two of my brothers. When you have three boys in a house, you have a lot of poop. Boys poop a lot. We filled up her septic tank to overflowing. She had to have the people come out and pump it empty.
Yeah.
And a septic tank generally is it what it's supposed to last. Have I heard 20 years? Is 20 years a good run for a septic tank?
I think so, yeah.
We easily filled hers up in about 10.
Oof.
Yeah. Which is why when I first got there, she's like, you can't put toilet paper in the toilet. Like, you have to throw toilet paper away and just flush down the poop. And I'm like, that's madness, because the toilet paper takes longer to break down and doesn't – and just basically fills up space in the composting, and I ignored it and filled it up.
But they do sell stuff that you can flush down your toilet.
Enzymes and stuff, yeah.
That will help break down all solid waste in there.
Right.
Toilet paper, shit, and all that stuff, and let it pass out the pipes that lead away from your septic
tank. To the leach fields.
Yeah.
How many times have you used that product?
Not nearly enough.
Oh, you have?
I have.
Oh, good. Yeah.
A few times, but I keep fucking forgetting to.
Exactly. With a composting toilet like I have, you have to deal with your waste as well. My solution is to dump the poo buckets into giant 55-gallon trash cans. When they get filled, seal the lid. I have filled two since I've been here, and I'm working on the third, so...
And what are you supposed to be doing with those big, giant tubs?
Well, after one compost for a long enough time, you just dump it out because at that point it's soil.
Uh-huh.
So
smelly stuff.
I will probably, you know, it's safe at that point. I'm going to have to maybe think about a different solution or add another barrel, since now that my, you know, poop users are quadrupled, there's now more people pooping and the poop is filling faster. Like when it was just me, you know, like I'd empty the poop bucket like once a month,
right?
And you know, I also had the rule of not peeing in there, and now I've got people peeing in there, which means it needs to be emptied lot more often.
But your wife poops all the time, like 3-4 times a day. She calls in the neighbors like, come look at this one. It looks like a Nike swoosh.
All day long she poops and sits. All day long she sits and poops.
I just can't wait for her to hear this episode. Mike!
I don't know if she even listens anymore.
Oh, that's depressing.
So yeah, composting toilet, and you know, you're going to have to figure out a solution. And when you go off grid, definitely have to do a composting toilet. And it's something you want to think about for an off grid, grid down apocalypse scenario is dealing with your poo. I believe we have an episode on that. You know, articles written on it.
If you've got the woods that back up to your house and you don't mind it, I would recommend just walking out and doing it the way God intended.
I definitely try to pee outside fairly often just to deal with it. Yeah. Heating. So, you know, I use propane heat a lot. Propane heat is awesome. Kerosene is awesome, although kind of expensive. Propane is fairly cheap, and you see a lot of people in the country use those giant.
That's a cheap, clean burning fuel, I'll tell you what.
Giant propane pigs, you know, it's like $500 and that'll last you like a whole winter, which if you think about paying for all of your heating up front, $500 for winter heat is not bad. I mean, if you think about if you use electric heat all winter long, your electric bill goes up.
Yes, it does.
Exactly. So,
no, I mean, I watched my electric bill go up anywhere from $60 to $100 a month extra on top of what I'm already.
Right, which I heard people, you know, at work talking about how their bills were easily $300.
Yeah, my last electric bill was the cheapest it had been in a while, and it was $127.
Which is not bad.
Not bad considering how many people live on, you know, the property using that same electricity.
Right. So.
God, my kids, if you don't throw them out the door every now and then, they will fucking just sit and stare at screens constantly.
Yeah, and recharge and use batteries, yeah. So propane is a good option.
I am glad my kids regularly do ask, can we go outside?
Yeah. And
yes, it's, please.
Yeah, unless it's like
watch for snakes.
Storming and like destroying, you know, apocalyptic weather, yeah, get outside.
Is that you?
I was moving stuff.
Oh, I thought I heard a messenger. No.
Solar energy. So if you really want to be off grid, you got to go to the next level and get solar energy. Solar energy is expensive as fuck. It's going to cost you a lot of money, especially up front.
Yeah.
Because you're paying for years worth of energy up front. Much like we talked about, you know, buying propane, you know, it's like $500,000 or $600,000 up front for a season's worth thing. You're paying for, you know, your electricity for 20 years up front.
Pretty much.
You know, to get the amount of electricity you need. And solar energy isn't the most efficient. It's
especially not in fucking Tennessee, it's not. Where it's cloudy constantly.
Oh, yeah, there's that. But I just mean, like, the actual photovoltaic panels don't convert energy as efficiently as, you know, should.
That is a major problem with solar energy. It proliferated before it was before it was efficient, and people lost a lot of money on it.
Yeah, and you know,
it's like nuclear. It proliferated before it was safe, and there was a lot of accidents. Chernobyl, Three Mile Island.
Right, and there's still, you know, it still hasn't made leaps and bounds to be great, so. You know, it's not the greatest, but really it's one of the only solutions you have to get energy off grid. There's a few other things. We don't have time to go super in depth on it. Like, you could get a wood gasifier generator and chop down wood and burn that wood to convert it to electricity. You know, but you're burning wood all day long to store
energy. Literally seen people run cars off of wood before.
Exactly, yeah. So
that first episode of what was it? The Colony?
The Colony, yeah.
That first season of The Colony was awesome.
Yeah, so those are some of your options. We could, you know, I have episodes with Gary Collins about off-grid, so they cover some more of those things a lot more in depth. Oh, 58 minutes. Let's go over some of the bad things about living in the country. And I wrote an article one time about, like, 7 things about living off-grid that suck. And It was a very shared article of mine that got a lot of flack. People were like, oh, you're just a pussy. And I'm like, I'm just trying to kind of ham up some of the bad things. Like, I don't, you know.
Now, we covered bad internet already.
Yeah, your internet's going to suck. We kind of beat that one to death. Like, there's not a whole lot of options. There's things on the horizon that could be better, but we're not
always
there yet.
On the horizon and could be better.
Right.
More work is probably – it's number one on that list, and I think it's pretty much number one.
Yeah. Serenity has been talking about this a lot recently. Like, living here is more work than when she lived in a city. And
yeah. Well, that's undeniable.
Yeah. I mean, you have to take your trash off. You don't just put it out in the yard. Like, you have to manually take your trash off.
Oh, God, that's one thing I fucking miss about living in Nashville. It's like once a week, these motherfuckers in these trucks would come and pick your trash up from where you set it in front of your fucking house, and you would never have to think about it. You just have to remember to drag the trash cans out there on trash day.
Right.
Out here, you have to load your damn trash bags into your car and take them to the dump.
Yeah, so... No, not the worst thing in the universe, but kind of a hassle. It is literally more work.
Yeah, we always try to do it when we're on the way to somewhere. That way we're not making just a trip to that.
Right.
And unfortunately, that could cause trash to pile up a little bit.
Right. And the trash drop-off center
is not open every day,
and their hours are not always great.
And sometimes, even when they're supposed to be open, they're just not.
They're just not. And then, so they're closed for like every single holiday that ever holidayed.
Yeah.
They've
been closed for Arbor Day before, goddammit.
They're closed for everything. I've been before, and it's been in the middle of them changing dumpsters, which is like a 30-minute to an hour process. So then you're like, you get trash sitting in your car, and you're like, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
So, you know, Doing dishes, especially when you're off grid, it's a little bit more difficult.
The first house we lived out here, the first house I lived in out here, which was the one over there, the only heat we had was a wood burning stove.
Yeah, which means you had to cut and prepare wood.
Yeah, cut and chop wood and all that shit, and stoke a fucking fire.
So, I love a good wood fire, but yes, it's more work.
If you don't keep those flues and shit cleaned out, you got fucking smoke in your house.
Right. You know, laundry, more work.
Got to
go
to a laundromat. I mean, you can. I own a washer and dryer, thank God.
Right. You know, for us, it's going next door, you know, making time with all of us. You know, we have to sort of rotate days to do laundry on.
This is two full-size families.
Right.
And we go through a lot of clothes.
Right. I mean, we have a tiny sort of portable washing machine. It can do a few things. I've did it for like emergency for a pair of clothes to wear to work the next day. It works. It's more work, you know.
What do you fit about an outfit at a time in that thing?
You know, I got a shirt, a pair of pants, and a pair of socks in there, and maybe underwear or something. So, you know.
And how long does it take to get through a cycle?
Well, it was probably 30 minutes. I mean, it's probably about right time. Like, you know, like. You wash, and then you put it in the spin cycle, and then I put it back in the wash thing without detergent to rinse, and then I put it back in the spin cycle again, so.
But even then, that's not a dryer.
No, but the spin cycle is fucking amazing.
Well, I can't imagine, but still not going to get anything bone dry. You still have to come over there and use our dryer.
Right. Well, I mean, I just hung the shit up.
Or hang shit up, but yeah. If it's not, I mean.
If it's not raining in bad weather.
Yeah.
Which
doesn't really work at all during the winter.
Right. My spin cycle, I think, gets things more dry than your spin cycle. It's a spin like a motherfucker.
Oh, honestly, I want to get the fucking money and actually get, like, fucking laundromat quality, brand new, like, fucking...
Washer and dryer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Industrial ones.
The dryer is kind of iffy at best.
Well, that's the thing on the motherfucking ones that I found out that most of the dryers... at laundromats will work great if you turn the heat up on them, but you don't have access to the heat. The people do,
right.
And they will often turn the heat down on them. That way you have to put more quarters into them.
Right. You know, at that, usually I just expect that you're going to dry your clothes at laundromat for 40 minutes, which is, you know, like $1 or $2 or whatever, but, you know. Whatever.
My dad, when he got a washing machine that we had in our house for something like 25 years, he paid extra to have the industrial shit put into it. I mean, it looked like a normal washing machine, but it was like the industrial, like, it was like the motor and everything that would be like in a prison washer.
Nice. Nice.
So that fucking thing lasted, like I said, 25 years before he replaced it.
Right. We've kind of touched on you're far from everything.
Yeah.
There is no fast food to be had here.
Closest thing is Subway.
Closest thing is Subway, which is 15 minutes away, 30 minutes round trip, not counting getting in line, getting your food. So
right.
40 minutes.
We were just talking about that earlier. Like when I was living in Nashville, you could get to anything in town within about 20, 25 minutes or so. It was 20, right. 25 minutes from any two points in Nashville. And during that time, you'd pass a jillion fucking stores.
Right.
Now, out here, it takes 20, 25 minutes to get damn near anywhere.
Right.
And that's just passing a bunch of fucking country and woods on the way.
Yeah. I say to get to any of the major areas, you're looking at 30 minutes.
Yeah. The nearest city would be Dixon, and it takes
about... Or Ashland City. They're both about the same. Dixon's bigger.
Yeah. It takes about 20 minutes to get to either one of them.
Right.
Dixon's got more stuff in it than Ashland City does.
Right. Yeah. I mean...
When I was,
the other way, you can get to Clarksville in about 40 minutes, which is the closest big city. Nashville's about an hour away, which is, you know, Nashville has everything.
About 45 minutes. 45, 50 minutes. Better part of an hour, let's say.
Right. I just call it an hour to get there.
And that's to get to the outskirts, though.
Right. So... I mean, to get into, like, Nashville proper, you're looking at an hour, depending on which way you go.
Well,
I only go through Ashland City. I don't like to go to Dixon, get on the interstate. To me, that just – you make up time when you get on the interstate, but I don't like to go that way. Well, you go that way because your wife doesn't like going through Ashland City.
Because she gets
car sick
on 49.
Yeah.
That's a fucking crooked-ass road.
Yeah, just
you know, clever people with Google Maps are going to be able to figure out where the hell we are.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
I've been thinking about that this whole time.
Most of the awesome people that listen to the podcast probably have my address anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you got a point there.
I mean, I've gotten mail from most of you guys. Yeah, you're far from everything. You're far from
Jeff Radke. I need a new sticker.
So what? The hospital is 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
Fast food is 30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. Grocery store is only like 15 minutes away.
When I lived in West Nashville, it was 5 minutes from my door. From my door driving to Walmart, it took about 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Out here, it takes about 30.
Yeah. I mean, when I lived in Clarksville, another fairly large city, I can get to anything I could possibly ever want within like 15, 20 minutes. I mean, everything. I mean, if you said like 5 minutes, I could still get to like, pretty much everything. I can get to,
yeah,
you know, stores. I can get to like 17 different food restaurants.
I mean, when you live in a city, you think, huh, I need new linens. I need to go. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run down to the store and get 300 thread count Egyptian cotton sheets today. And that would be relatively easy to do in Nashville. If you want to do that out here, you're going to have to drive to Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes a trip to somewhere. You start – what's the word I'm looking for? You start –
just disclaimer, I've never bought Egyptian cotton in my life. I'm just trying to think of something specific.
You definitely plan your trips a bit better and put things together. So, like –
oh, yeah.
You don't just run out for something. No, try to avoid running out until
you try to think, what else do we need?
Exactly.
Because you're trying to make the most out of the fucking gas you're about to have to use.
Because you're pretty much going to spend a day.
Oh, that one was a good one.
Going out, you spend a day. So, very last thing
in
before
Nashville,
we wrap this
you
up.
Can meander.
Yeah, you can. And you just literally run, grab, come right back, and you know you're only out like 30 minutes for doing that.
And so that's the thing. In every single trip that me and my wife make into town or whatever,
it's a day.
As soon as we're going, before we leave, yeah, I told you that was a good one. Now we're like, is there anything else we need? Is there anything else we need? Because right. I fucking hate you. Get back to the house. We forgot to pick up milk. Goddamn son of a bitch! One of these days, I'm gonna buy a cow.
Yeah.
My kids will fucking go through some fucking milk.
They will.
I've seen them demolish a gallon of milk. And we got it that evening. And then, like, what can I have to eat? Get a bowl of cereal. There's no milk. I just bought milk on the way home.
Yeah.
Bugs Their bones pets. Should be made of adamantium by this fucking point with all the calcium my kids intake.
The last thing is bugs and pests. Like, when you live in the city,
yeah,
you got less.
There are less.
You know, your wife right now is freaking out because of some snakes. I think it's just snakes. A bunch of gardener snakes. Like, we had, okay, so in the city, we had snakes. Like, this is a great story. One time, me and my brother David, who's like a year younger than me, we're like, I don't know, 7 and 8 years old or something. We walked around our neighborhood and like the park, because we used to live fairly close to Shelby Park, with like a 5 gallon bucket, collecting snakes the entire day, like just gardener snakes, because we're like 7 year old boys. So we went around collecting snakes all day, and then went back home to our mom. Was like, look what we got. And there was a bucket full of writhing snakes. Oh, that was the best day ever.
Ear shattering scream.
I don't necessarily think my mom was as scared and freaked out as she was, like, angry. Like, I'm pretty sure we are slapped upside the head for presenting a bucket full of snakes.
Oh, God, you should have showed up at Ben Margera's house. He'd have peed himself.
That's, yeah. Hilarious. So, yeah.
Ben Margera, if you listen, we'd love to have you on the show, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of the insects and stuff out here don't bother me as much. You know, like I said, we have snakes, but they're just gardener snakes. So I don't really – they're harmless. You know, they're the ones that me and my brother collected. So I don't really care about those.
I'm fascinated by garter snakes.
Yeah. They're kind of interesting.
Well, they have this weird relationship with newts that I've always found amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Newts are poisonous. They're insanely poisonous little fucking salamander cousins. Insanely poisonous. It's because of garter snakes. See – garter snakes love to eat newts. And because of that, newts evolved to become more poisonous. This caused the garter snakes to evolve to become more tolerant to their poison.
Right.
Which made the newts get even more poisonous, which made the garter snakes become even more tolerant, which basically means it's damn near impossible to poison a garter snake, and newts, if you look at them funny, you'll die.
Right. My biggest issue, and it's something we're going to have to deal with soon, is... the ticks.
Spoon!
There are so many ticks out here. Oh, yeah,
and multiple breeds of ticks.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee doesn't usually get cold enough or long enough to really kill the ticks off, no, so we have...
ticks are resilient little bastards.
I mean, I've been picking ticks off for a couple weeks now.
I found one on my dick once.
Skylar has had ticks several times. I've got good tick tweezers, so
worst
we just
blowjob
pick them
I ever
off.
Had in my life.
So... you know, you in the city, you really, I mean, the city sprays for ticks, they deal with the pests. You don't really have the issue as much. So, you know, and that's a good thing about being a survivalist is you take a lot of these things into your own hands, your own responsibilities for your needs that you remove from the government. So, like, instead of the government spraying for pests, you got to do that yourself.
Yep.
So we're going to have to get some tick spray and knock these motherfuckers out.
That's the only reason the ticks around here aren't rampant is because we do that each year.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. By the way, all the people out there listening, if you have a sticker, send me stickers, you know, with your brand on it. I'm trying to make a survival punk Rubik's cube.
And I need to order more stickers.
See, I've already got one out there because Scav, hey Scav, you sent me a sticker, the Scav and Scout Chronicles. It's now one side of a Rubik's Cube.
It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it does. But the other sides are all white, so I'm trying to fix that.
God damn you, phone. I've been charging my phone this whole time, so
no, you
fool.
Haven't.
But it hasn't actually been charging at all.
Anything else on the list? No, that's Bugs and Pests was it. Oh, my God. We actually finished?
We finished. Bonus, a little over an hour. Hour and 12 minutes.
Now, if there's anything on the show that you want us to talk about, feel free to give us a call at 615-657-9704. That's 615-657-9704. Drop us a message with show ideas, topics, or any questions that you might have.
Right. Or email us, james@survivalpunk.com. Quick note, the website looks a little funky right now. It'll be fixed and restored soon. The theme got compromised and was giving out spam, and that pissed me off. So The site should be spam-free and fixed very soon.
Well, on that terrible disappointment, I guess it's time to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
James Sick One Burnett.
And remember, is some internet really better than no internet?
DIY to check for ticks, use guys.
Use guys!